In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. God bless you. Society will tell us today that truth is abstract. In other words, that you cannot know truth. But the Bible presents a totally different picture of the truth to us. Truth, and understanding truth, it just means truthfulness. It means corresponding to reality. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is standing before the Jews who are hostile to Him. And He tells them that the truth is what is going to make them free. The truth will make you free. Now, I know in this society that we live in, people are minimizing truth. And they're trying to confuse us of what truth is. But Jesus clearly lays out for us the importance of this truth. He says two things. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But before the truth can make you free, you've got to know the truth. Amen. You have to know the truth. And so when we come to this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand one great theme today. Jesus is truth. Amen. Number two, Jesus' Word is truth. You cannot separate Jesus and His Word from truth, or it will not be truth anymore. Amen. Jesus and His Word is truth. And this is paramount because He is standing before these people, He is giving His words to them, and they are, number one, refusing to believe that He is the Messiah, and number two, they are refusing to believe His Word. They in so much as call Him an illegitimate child in the text, if you caught that. I don't know if you caught it or not. But let me just go through a couple of verses here and tell you or show you this idea of the truth and Jesus and His Word being the truth. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," listen, "full of grace and truth." When are we encountered with this truth? According to the Scripture, we are encountered with truth when Jesus came into flesh. We are encountered with this truth. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, you're familiar with the passage. Jesus said, "I am the way," the what? Truth. "The" is a definite article. It means there's only one truth. There's not multiple truths. There's one truth. It's a definite article. We say, for emphasis, the Ohio State University. You ever notice those guys, the fourth figure, say, "Where did you go to school?" "I went to the Ohio State University." They're saying that for emphasis as the one and only. It's a definite article. In the Scripture, it's a definite article. Jesus says, "I am the only truth." The only truth. Now, why is it, guys, that we can go out and we can talk about every kind of religion under the sun and nobody cares, but we mention Jesus Christ and their feathers get all ruffled? I'll tell you why. Because only Jesus Christ is truth. And the problem in this passage is they do not understand Jesus as being truth and His Word as being truth. There are many in the crowd here that are very educated. They're very scholarly. There are scribes in the crowd. There are Pharisees, men who majored in the law, men who copied the law by hand. Men who revered God so much that when they came to the name God, they would lay down their instrument and they would wash their hands. Men who wouldn't pronounce Yahweh because they revered God. But in their mind, they had not accepted the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. In John chapter 18, I read you quickly in verse 32, it tells us this. John 18, 32, it tells us that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. Listen, Jesus is giving the truth to them, and He is going to show them in just a little bit that He must die because He's truth. Because He is truth. And of course, the passage of John 17, 17, "Sanctify them with Thy Word. Thy Word is truth, Lord. Thy Word is truth." All through the book of John, we have this revelation of Jesus Christ as the truth. His word is the truth. You cannot separate Jesus from truth. Yet these men seek to kill Jesus because the truth is not in them. They do not know the truth. Now, guys, listen to me. We are passionate about things. We are passionate about sports, and we are passionate about politics, and we are passionate about these things. Would to God that we would get passionate about truth. I don't know if you recognize the theme of our singing this morning, but our singing revolved around the truth of Jesus Christ. My Jesus, I love Thee. Jesus Messiah. Oh, glorious day. That day that He died and He was buried and He arose from the grave. We focus on Jesus Christ, the truth. But these men, they do not understand it. They say, "What? How do you say? How do you say we're Abraham's seed? How can you say that we're in bondage? We've never been in bondage to man. Are you kidding me? Now you're not even being truthful. And you should know that, Mr. Jew. Remember Moses leading the people out of Egyptian bondage? But you see, if you don't believe the truth, then you will fabricate facts and figures. You will fabricate history to support your belief. But we have truth. So Jesus, in His infinite wisdom, He tells them, He says, listen, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, that word committeth means practice, whoever practices sin is the servant of sin. You're in bondage. And there's one thing that will deliver you from bondage. It doesn't matter what the bondage is. It doesn't matter what the sin is that's holding you in bondage. What matters is the truth can make you free. Free. We know very little about freedom. You know why? Because we've enjoyed freedom all of our lives in this country. It's the greatest country. I love this country. I love the United States of America. I'm patriotic. But I think our country has taken our freedom for granted. We've taken our freedom for granted. And we don't understand the sacrifices made for freedom. Jesus is standing before them and He is telling them, listen to this sacrifice. Listen to this. Jesus, who is God, left the portals of heaven, came into this wicked world to redeem us. You. If, according to the Scriptures, if you were the only person that He had to redeem, He would have come. Amen. He would have come. And He brings this truth, born of a virgin, He comes and He brings this truth. He comes into the only one the Scriptures talks about being full of grace and truth. And He's standing before these people who are bound in legalism, who are bound into the law, who are bound to man, who are bound in sin. And the answer is standing before them, and they do not recognize Him. Jesus says something interesting. He said, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. It's interesting, in Jewish culture, a child, it differs nothing from a slave when he's young. He differs nothing from a slave until he comes of age where he can actually legally take his inheritance and he is a son. And then he is granted all of the rights and benefits that come from being a son. A servant will serve for so long. And that servant is, if it was in the Old Testament times, if it was a slave, they had an opportunity after 7 years to be redeemed. And He is saying, listen, there's no difference there, but there's one difference. There's one difference in the slave and the son. Eternity. And eternity only comes from knowing truth. Look at verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, the Son, S-O-N, not S-U-N, the Son being the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now that's exciting right there. Jesus says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word, which ye already have discovered is truth, has no place in you, in your heart. Interesting. There was no place for Jesus when he came to this earth as a babe. There was no place for Jesus in the hearts of man while he was on the earth. And unfortunately, there are still many where there's no place for him in our land, in our hearts. The truth will make you free. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your Father. Now it's going to get interesting here because Jesus says, listen, you're not of the Heavenly Father, because if you were the Heavenly Father, you would understand my word is truth and you would believe my word, but you don't believe and there's no place in you because your father is the devil. Now this is a great way to win friends and influence people, isn't it? This is a great way to be popular. Jesus looks at him and says, you do what you do because your father's the devil and you're following your father. And you can't help it. You can't do anything about it but do what he does. I do what I see my heavenly father do. You do what you see your father do. And they say, well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. We're not children of fornication. You know what that is a dig of, isn't it? Oh, they'd heard rumors about Mary and the baby and it carried with him all the way up through 33 years here. And they're talking about him. We're not the illegitimate child here. You are. Because later in the text, next week we'll see it talks about him being a Samaritan. A Samaritan was half Jew. That's why the Jews and Samaritans didn't have any dealings together because the Jews look at Samaritans as half-bred. Jews, not a full Jew. So these people have the audacity to look at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, you're an illegitimate child. But guess what? Jesus is not moved by this. Why? Because he's truth. And truth doesn't change. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same truth that saved them is the same truth that saves us. And Jesus says, listen, you do what you do because your father, the devil, is a liar. And you can only do what he does. He says, the things I do comes from the Father. I see what my Father does and I do that. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my what? Word. Truth. From time to time, someone says, prove to me the Bible's true. And my response to you is, the Bible is a book of faith. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you can get past, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you can believe the rest of it. And as C.S. Lewis once said, you know the best way to defend a lion? You let it out of the cage. This word is true. Let it out. Give it. Let it go. Let it do its work. The Jews answered him and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a devil? Now, verse 48, they accused Jesus of having a devil. You know why? Look at me. Because they will not believe the truth. They will not believe the truth. I watched a program on television. I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed. I don't know any other thing. A man is transitioning into a woman. And I'm baffled. I'm baffled. And how could this be? How could this be that there's a confusion that even creation testifies about? And obviously this person needs prayer. I'm not coming from the perspective of saying their sin is greater than anybody else's sin. I'm wondering how. But if I read in Romans chapter 1, I understand this, and this is critical. Because it said that they had heard the truth, but they rejected the truth, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means that they can't discern right and wrong. It's all in Romans chapter 1, if you read it. Very laid out, very clearly. And I watch these things and I watch the confusion over a lot of different things. I'm looking at marriage in a different perspective now because I've been a participant in marriage as a groom. I've been a participant in marriage as a preacher. And pretty soon I'm going to be a participant in a marriage as a father. And it's a totally different perspective. And the older I get, the longer I'm on this earth, I know that people want to have these outlandish weddings. And I know that the wedding is a special day for the bride. And I know that it's a special day. But listen, the wedding is more about the two committing to Christ and becoming one than it is the venue. And we're not teaching people this because we're not teaching the truth. Every problem in our society comes back to the truth. Not how I feel, not what I think, not what makes sense. What is the truth? What is the truth? And it's so important because I look at these people and we look at these people and we say, can't they see the truth? But you know, the Bible places responsibility on us as believers with the truth. We can look at them and say, look, they don't know the truth and look at how they're acting, but we know the truth and we have the truth. What are we doing with the truth? 1 Timothy. Go through these quickly. There's only about a dozen points and that was the introduction. We should be done here in a couple hours. First Timothy 4 and 3. This is talking about false teachers. And they'll come in and they'll forbid to marry and they'll command to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them. Now watch this. Which believe and know the truth. Do you know the first responsibility of a believer is to believe and know the truth? Now guys, I am concerned and I'm not here to pick on you and I'm not here to make you feel guilty and I guilt you into doing something because that never works. It's got to be conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to change, it's got to be conviction. But let me tell you, guys, we spend way too much time on Facebook and way too little time in the Word of God. Amen. Way too much time reading the latest novel or this, that, or the other and not near enough time in the truth, the Word. We have no excuse. I introduced the app on my phone to my father-in-law. It actually reads the Scripture to you. It'll read it to you. I mean, that is, it'll read it to you. No effort. Just plug and play. We have the responsibility. I don't even know how to elaborate on that. I mean, it'll read it to you. John chapter 2 and verse 21 says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know the truth. Because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. The Bible makes an assumption. And the assumption is, you're a believer, you should know and obey and love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we should love the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 6 says that we should rejoice in the truth. Philippians 4:8 says that we should meditate. Whatsoever good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, that word think, is meditate upon these things. Truth. He starts with true. Whatever's true. Meditate upon truth. Listen, remember we used to teach our kids garbage in, garbage out? You meditate on garbage, you're going to have garbage. And then 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Can you see that? We have the responsibility to walk in truth. You know what John says when he heard about this church, these people, this group of believers? His greatest rejoicing was that he found that they were walking in truth. Guys, why was John so excited about it? Because John understood that you will know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. Amen. See, we make this more complicated than what it is. If the Bible says don't do this, if you believe what the Bible says, you don't do that. And if the Bible says do this, and you believe the Bible, you do that. And if you don't, you're not showing that you are believing in it. It's wait, time to go to sleep. You're okay. It's all right. Listen, what I want to tell you is it's truth. Truth matters. Truth matters. It's the only thing that will release us from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of religious system, from the bondage of yourself. How many times have you known to do something good and you don't want to do it that day? You just don't feel like doing it. You know, there are times when you don't feel like going to church. There are times when you don't feel like witnessing to people. There are times when you don't feel like teaching Sunday school class. There are times when you don't feel like giving. And there are times when you don't feel like doing these things. But let me tell you something. Truth says it doesn't matter how I feel. It's truth, and I believe it. I'm going to do it. And that's all I got to say about it. And Jesus is going to carry on this argument all the way through the Gospel of John. He's standing before him. He's revealing them. Listen, you want out of your bondage? I'm the solution, Jesus says. You want to live a life of freedom? I'm the solution. I have to say something. And I don't know anybody, and I haven't talked to anybody in here. So if you do this, I don't know it. Don't tell me, and we'll just still be friends, and nobody will ever know, and everything will be great. But for the life of me, I cannot understand why anybody wants to keep a bird in their house in a cage. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but listen, let's say you come to my house and stay in a cage for a week. And you've done that, huh?
Watch him.
Next Sunday, sit up here where you can just fall over to the altar, brother. My point is this. You know, we were on vacation, and I came up to the lobby, and at the Great Smoky Mountains, love it. And we're at the Christmas Inn. How wonderful is that? Santa Claus sings every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I mean, so we're here, and I'm walking up the steps, and I come up, and they've got a cage. And then they got a glass cage around it, and it's got a bird in there. And I'm thinking, why? And now, if you got a pet and you play with your bird, again, I don't know anything. If, you know, I'm not picking on you. All right, lose some members over a bird. But anyhow, I'm thinking, what a miserable existence. You can't even tap on the glass. They don't want you to tap on the glass. What good? What good is it? What good is it? I don't get it. I guarantee you, if I was that goony bird in there and someone opened the door and gave me a little bit of a place to escape, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And I think about Christians who live in bondage. I think about people who have never met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're living in bondage. You know, there are people who couldn't get out of bed this morning because they drank so much last night, and they call that fun. They're sick, and all day today they'll be sick, and they say, oh man, this is living. That's not living. You're in a cage, man. You need to be freed. You need to be freed. And we're so many people living in bondage all across the land. And Jesus says, listen, I'm standing before you. I'm the answer. The truth will set you free. Yeah. Open the cage door. Be free. Because the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Would you join me in prayer, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, listen, if I were to die right now, I am not sure I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Please pray for me.